Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening. This is Apostle Armstrong, your minister, your messenger for the today. It's been a while since we've been on, and what I've been doing has been seeking the Father for the way that the ministry is to be unfolded in the coming days. I'm about receive some confirmation, one, that the basic format which we have is fine. That is, that's be about a 30-minute message. Sometime it may go a little longer, but at least a 30-minute message, and then 15, 20-minute discussion, questions and answers period. And the rationale for that is a lot of people have questions they have regarding what was said in the message, or questions about the scriptures that was used in the message. And this is an opportunity for them to be able to participate. I know I used to sit there in the pulpit and sit there in the congregation, in the pews, and have questions. And I was not able to get answers to my questions. Either the pastor was too busy running out of the sanctuary and going to do whatever, or whenever we had an opportunity to have questions, no one was available. Or when I was younger, you don't question. And they say you don't question God. But I also said you don't question the messenger. The messenger or the message. And I used to sit there perplexed. How am I going to understand what is being said if I have a question and I can't ask? And who is best to ask that question to if not the messenger? The messenger is the one that put the message together and claim that it put the message together based on the Holy Spirit and not just going and purchasing, not just going and purchasing a book with the message in it and then going out and regurgitating what one read. Of course, if one does that, then one is going to have a problem trying to explain something that they didn't put together, or trying to explain something that they have no understanding of. And you say, maybe you say, I'm being harsh. No, I'm not being harsh. I'm being real.
What used to be a sermon book, and people went to that book and selected a sermon and set out preaching that sermon or sharing that message, and not sitting with the message in a way that they can understand the hows and the whys. And the other thing that was happening, they didn't take time to give background information. What I mean by background information is give people some social, economic, political context as what was going on in that society at that time that that scripture was written, or if it was part of the oral tradition, when that word was given to the people. And the other thing that people don't know is when they don't know that man, hundreds of thousands of years later, put in punctuation marks. You see, there was no printing press. There was nothing, none of that before when this was written. And because that was the case, then they was passed, these words were passed down word of mouth from generation to generation. And, you know, I'm not saying now that the word was not passed down correctly or accurately, but what I am saying, we need to give people that information and explain to people that the Holy Spirit has a role in their lives and their understanding, their ability to understand the message, just as it played a role in my receiving that message from the Father. And one other thing that we will do, we will use the Hebrew names for the Creator, for the Father, and well as the Hebrew names for the Messiah, the Son. And we will keep the message as accurate as possible based on what was happening when this was written. And the philosophy, if you want to call it a philosophy, is that undergirding the future as it's done in the past, it will try and we will try and limit our biases that we bring to the scripture. We will state them up front so that people have a better understanding, a better ability to understand any interpretation or anything that not added, because we're not adding anything to the scripture. But what we will do is do the homiletics, look at the scripture, do the vision of the people through the eyes of the people that were living during the time that this was written or this was given. And then we will attempt to overlay it on what's happening today in today's world, in today's society. And we won't say that it is what's happening here in a way I would apply the word to what's happening where I am, the local community, state community, and national communities. You know, they all are different. They all bring together a different way of understanding and bring together a different way of receiving that word. And that is why it's so important that people have an opportunity to raise questions. We will constantly give out email address to individuals who may be listening in Africa, Ukraine, or Russia, or South Korea, or Japan, Brazil, or wherever you may be, Canada. And you who are local, you got a smartphone, you can just dial the number that we will have out there, that is out there, in a way, the sixth number, and speak directly with whoever the messenger is at that day and that time. Well, frankly, we encourage that. We encourage that whenever and wherever possible that you dial in. Call in. Call in and listen by your smartphone. And don't hesitate if you got a question and ask it. One of the things we will do a better job with social media. I'm not one that Facebook person because I don't believe that Facebook is positive. I believe that Facebook is a way that people can throw a rock and hide their hand. I believe that Facebook and these other social media platforms generate more evil than good. And you say, why is that? If you look at just in my lifetime, how hate messages, how hatred it is, it's just outward hate. When I was younger, growing up in and out of what we say the North Carolina, because it is North compared to those southern states, I made clear that there was a distinction between where I live and where my friends live. Those in Alabama, that's where my wife is from. Alabama, I have friends in Louisiana, that's where my daughter-in-law and granddaughter is, and have friends in Mississippi. That's where some of my colleagues that I went to seminary with are in Mississippi. I have a daughter in Texas, and I have a godson in West Africa, in Nigeria, and I have friends in Sierra Leone. All of that's West Africa. And I have a cousin that's in East Africa that has given up their citizenship for the most part here. They have joint citizenship in the area that they live in East Africa. You know, and I understand that the message that's given is being listened to by people from all over and Europe. Now, we cannot serve everybody. However, the message that's given can serve everybody. If you just think, and I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time, Messiah said that by his stripes we are healed. And he didn't specify that only people of color are healed, and he didn't specify that only people of non-color are healed. He just said, by his stripes, we are healed. You're healed. Now, what that is contingent on is contingent upon whether you believe or not. But you believe his word can has that healing power that he says it has. And if so, how do you activate it so it can become alive in you? Well, we will use personal examples as well as biblical examples of healing. And that's what I mean whenever I said we will apply it. And that whenever we apply it to our personal situation or circumstances, show you that that word is still just as powerful today as it was around 2,000 years ago when it was spoken. Now, I want people to think. I want you to think before you come send in an email. I want you to think before you call and raise your question. I want you to think before you call up and make your comments. When I am going to introduce you to Mr. Mike, Mr. Quick Click, whenever you come up with these conspiracy theories, I'm not interested, and I'm not subjecting to you, the listeners, to them. Now, if you have a valid point that you'd like to make, a valid question that you'd like to ask, then I can accept that. In the past, I have introduced Mr. Click to individuals that come up with a whole lot of Who Struck John stuff and who have this at their personal axe to grind, and they want airtime. No, you're not going to get it. If you want airtime, go get your own platform and get on it and say whatever lies you want to say. And my whole thing is also, so you're clear, the big lie. The big lie did not start with Donald J. Trump. It started in the garden, with the serpent. The serpent told Eve and Adam the big lie. And you know, that took on. They chose the lie from the serpent over the word that was given them by the one that created them. And even Adam, whenever the creator, the father, questioned him, what did he say? He said it was that woman that you gave him. Now, you know, he didn't take any responsibility for his action. That woman didn't sit there and feed him whatever it was that he consumed that was on that tree. He did it himself. Now, this is just my take. I'll just give it to you. And you question it, I'm fine. But I'm telling you, it's mine. So you understand. I tend to believe that Adam wanted to pick from that tree all along. And he, because the word is clear, that he chose, he made a decision. He made a decision, not Eve, for him. Eve made a decision about the fruit that was on that tree, but she didn't make Adam make a decision to say that he was going to consume it. Neither did the serpent. And that is why you will not hear me on this and in my messages say anything about the devil or Satan made me do it. Satan or the devil didn't make me do nothing, no thing. I did it because three things. The desire of the eyes, either I saw it, and looking at it long enough, I developed a desire to have that, whatever it was, or whatever it is. And whenever I dwelled on that desire long enough, the desire of the eyes long enough, what it triggered another level. Desire of the flesh. Most people want to just limit flesh to to humans. But brutes have flesh. And, you know, the desire of the eyes, I saw it. I liked what I was looking at. So then I looked at it again, examined it with my eyes, and I concluded what it was made of. It was something that I desired to have. And then once I went through those two steps, what happened next? Pride and possession. I can imagine how pumped up Adam was whenever he consumed whatever it was that, and I'm saying whatever, because I wasn't there, and I don't know, and I don't subscribe to that apple theory. My little research shows that there were no apples, even though the Creator could have had an apple tree in that garden. But in that part of the country, the earth, in all probability, there wasn't an apple tree there. The fig tree, the other trees that grows in that region, we can say that. But I just see that those persons who recorded this, they allow their own biases to enter into this, their understanding. What I am about to say next today, I'm just will cite you one little example. And I look at, as I was surveying the news, national, local, and international, I found that they are fighting in Israel again. Well, being a student of history, to me, that's nothing new. Man, that's been going on for centuries. And whenever you sit down, and I do not get emotional or attached to any report that was given, nor to anything that I saw. And I'm not insensitive at all. It's just that I don't have energy to waste anymore. Whenever people keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, my little psychology class that I had told me that was a mark of a fool. And that's what I concluded, one of my conclusions, whenever I saw it. And I just shook my head and kept it moving. And I also understood 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, where it made it clear, Paul, now that was Paul, not the Messiah, but Paul, instructing Timothy, who he was discipling. He told Timothy that you pray for all people, all including all those in authority. And he went on and he told them why. See, most people don't read scripture for an understanding, and doesn't read scripture in a way that the Holy Spirit can reveal to them as what is being said. And they just call words. Calling words is not reading scripture. That's calling words. Reading scripture is whenever you can read it and you can go beyond the words that's written on that page. And that's why I'm saying that's so important. Whenever he told them why you pray for everybody, including those in authority, he said so you can have a quiet, peaceful, godly, relevant life. Now, apply that to the current situation. I am able to have peace, be at peace, in the midst of the chaos and confusion that I see that's happening, not only just in Israel, but in the United States as well, and in the Senate, and in the House of Representatives, in the White House, in the Capitol, in the state houses, all the foolishness that they are doing trying to stop and hold back time so that they can remain in power. I mean, it's wild. It's really wild. And I'm hoping that the messages will give people some insight and that they will be able to glean a level of understanding that they didn't have before and a level of understanding that brings comfort to them. You say, now how is that going to bring comfort? Well, same way it brings comfort to me. Same way it will bring comfort to you. When you know the word, when you believe in the word, when you trust the word, when you have faith in the word, that's whenever you have that sense of peace, that sense of comfort. And I'm just grateful to the Father for putting those words in our human history. None of us, we will believe philosophies or philosopher before we believe the Creator, the one that created them. And why is that? We humans have a tendency to want to believe something that we can experience with the five senses. And even we've gone so far as to deny the existence of the Holy Spirit, or even deny the existence in a spiritual being. Now, I'm not here trying to transform anybody. You have to do that for yourself. I had to do it for myself. And mine was a process. It didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And that process, I, personal pronoun, I developed a relationship with a creator that I had never seen, with a heavenly father that I had never seen, that I could refer to, that I could depend on. What I'm saying is simple. You can do the same thing that I did, but you're going to have to sit with it. Instead of bashing the Catholic Church and the Catholic priests and the popes, I took the St. Ignatius 30-day spiritual retreat. And it was an amazing eye-opener. It was amazing at the level of understanding of spirituality that I developed during that time. I think if we stop listening to people, stop just for one day, let's just say stop for 1 hour a day for a week, 1 hour, you don't listen to nobody, but read the word, meditate and reflect on that word. I had the virus. No, I didn't have the virus. I took a COVID test, and the test came back positive. And I refused to say that I had anything. Instead, I began to affirm the words of the Messiah. He made it clear. He said, by his stripes, I am healed. And I stood on that word, and I'm still standing on it. And I invite you to find a scripture that speaks directly to your situation, not affirming the problem that you're going through. You're never going to come out of it. You're going to, it's like a do loop, what we call do loop in the computer language. Something that's keep going over and over and over and over and over. So now, that's the way that we will be going forward. And I hope that it was clear, it is clear, in that you can make a clear decision whether you want to listen and glean something from the message or whether you want to be bothered at all. If you're going to listen just to come up with some negative, please don't call in. Because you're wasting your time if you want me to address it, because I'm not going to do it. We will be back here. Anybody have any questions or comments about anything that I've said? You can always email. Send an email to talkingdrums12@gmail.com. And to that, I'm looking at the switchboard. And I don't see anyone that's called in today. And I don't have any problem with that because, like I said, I've been off for a while. And I'm coming back. And it may be other week. I know the weekend of the 21st, I may not be here. And if I'm not here, I may have a recorded message or I may have a messenger that may come on and bring a word from the Father according to the teaching of his beloved Son, Yahshua. Yisroel, once I pray, and I trust that something that was said made sense to you to hear, because we are not on just to hear ourselves talk. We have been called by the Creator and chosen by him for such a time as this. And my covenant partner will be on in the morning at 7:00 a.m. And I invite you to listen. We attend the same assembly ourselves. And there may be a couple others may be coming on. But 7 a.m., Evangelist Sarepta Cunningham, Time Such as This Ministry. Tune in and you'll be blessed. Almighty Everlasting Creator, I come to you giving you thanks and praise for the calling that you place on my life and for the opportunity that you place in my path to be able to share your message with the world. Anybody told me, Lord, Yahshua, that I would be doing this and my voice would be going around the earth I would have just laughed. But, you know, every reason the Father chose me, and you took time to instill in me, through the Holy Spirit, his word. And those who are listening, wherever they are, with all the chaos and the confusion and evil and war and conflict and tension that's going on around the world, actual war, shooting war, and war words, it's taking place now. And I just ask that you touch them. Touch them in a special way that they may find the peace and comfort like I have in your word. In the name of your son, the Messiah. Shalom. Shalom.